Okay, we start here at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots. Amar of Chanan El Amarav. It's really a continuation of the previous Gemara, which is Hechlif Parshiotah Psulot. If you switch around the Parshiot that are placed into the Tefillin, it's problematic. Amar Abayi, Abayi qualifies that statement. It says Lo Amran El Gviato De Braito U Braito De Gviato. That's only if you exchange a Parsha that's found on the outside to the inside, or from the inside to the outside. Aval gviato de gviato, if you exchange the two inner parshiot, or ubriato de briato, that you change the two outer parshiot, then leitlan bo, then we have no issue with it. Amalei rovo maishna. Why does it make a difference if you are swapping the in to the out versus switching the two inner parshiot or two outer parshiot? Says gviato de briato, briato de gviato de lo. That you say that you can't do this, the hachbah the mechse avira, and lo kachazina, the one that's supposed to see the air, I mean, it's supposed to be on the outside, supposed to have the aisle seat, and it doesn't have it. And ha the lo kabay the mechse, and the one who's supposed to have the middle seat and not be able to see out, kabay the mechse avira, and then kachazio, the one that's not supposed to see the outside, and yet it is. So why don't you say the same thing? Briyata the briyata, v'griyata the griyata. Nami, say the same thing. The hach, the boy, the mechse avira diomit. The one that's supposed to see, sit on the right aisle, kachazi avira the small, is now sitting on the left aisle. U the small, the one on the left aisle, is kachazi avira diomit, is now sitting the right aisle. So even if you want to say that the fact that they're on the outside versus the inside is a difference, one of them is supposed to be exposed, one of them is not supposed to be exposed, you can make the same claim as whether they're on the right side or the left side. If you think that the positioning is particular, it should be particular for all the parshiot and for all the different aspects of them. Why should it be just because outside and inside? Why is that more important than which side it goes on? Ella, lo shna. Rava says it makes no difference. You have to have the parshiot in the right place. That means the outer ones, the inner ones have to be in the right place. And both outer ones have to be in the right place. And that's why we saw yesterday that all the poskim and all the rishonim that bring down the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi say that, as a sheet of Mekubetz, it says it say the Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam, pasul. And say the Rabbeinu Tam, the Rashi is pasul. Because they changed the order of the Parshiot, the order of Parshiot make it pasul. The Rabbeinu Tam's set up pasul for Rashi, and Rashi set up pasul for the Rabbeinu Tam. And that's why people who want to be Yotze, both the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, have to put on two pairs of tefillin. Famous Rav Chaim, the Chedushim, Rav Chaim has a famous statement here on the Gemara. He says, well, we know, and I showed you yesterday, that there are actually four opinions as to which way the order of the Parshiot are. There's Rashi, there's Rabbeinu Tam, there's the Raivud, and then there is the Bali Tor, and maybe the Shemush Rabbah, that had the different orders. How come we only wear a tefillin of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam? Now, it's Miuchas to the Gro, brought down in Maaseh Rav, that the Gro also did not wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. He said, well, if you want to be Choshesh for all the problems in tefillin, all the Machlokot in tefillin, you have to wear like 76 pairs of tefillin. It says just because there's a machloket doesn't mean that you wear two pairs of tefillin. You have all these other issues, all these other halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, other things that we argue about. So for each thing that we argue about, you can put on a different pair of tefillin. It's just like basically, if you have klafen duchstustus, which side of the skin is classified as duchstustus and which side is classified as klaf? That's a machloket rishonim. So you're going to wear two different pairs of tefillin depending on which side is klaf? It says nobody does that. So why should I do that by Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam? That's the gross claim. Chaim here says, well, there are two things that the setup of the Parshiot do for you. Parshiot, the order of the Parshiot, internally within the Bayit, it tells you exactly what the order is. And that's Ma'akev. We just saw that in the Gemara. We just read the Gemara over here. That din that they go in, one goes on the right, one goes on the left, one goes on the right middle, one goes on the left middle. That order is Ma'akev, and that's the din between Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. What that also does is determine which way the tefillin face. Because you'll know which way the tefillin face based on how the parshiot are situated within the tefillin. So that, for instance, from Rashi, it's you read a kesidram for the koreh, the one who's reading it. Whereas for the itur and others, it's based on the meniach. But the difference between them is it's not where the parshiot are situated inside the tefillin, but once you know once they are situated, you know which way to put the tefillin. So Chaim wanted to claim that that was why the Gemara before and our Gemara are two different dinim about Seder HaParshiot. We had the first Gemara that did Seder HaParshiot based on whether it was the Meniach or the Koreh. There's a second din here, which is the order of the Parshiot within the Tefillin themselves. And he says that the order of the Parshiot within the Tefillin themselves are Me'akev. And that, if you don't do it right, Suba. On the other hand, our previous Gemara, which dealt with Mimina Yemeniach, or the Mimina Kore. Over there, the Gemara just stated facts and never said Psula. Over there, that's the Chatchila. Once you have the Parshiot in the Bayit, then you know which way to wear it. It should wear it based on the Kore or the Meniach, and then we'll determine. But that's not Ma'akev. And therefore, the Rav Chaim says the reason we only wear Rashi and Beit Tam is because we're Yotze all the day out that way. You wear Rashi's tefillin, you're also Yotze Bidyeved for the Itur and the Shimush Rabbah, because all that is just the tefillin turned around. The tefillin turned around is not Ma'akev. It's not the Chatchila, but it's not Ma'akev. Same thing with the Rabbeinu Tam versus the Raivit. There, the Parshiot are in order. They're in the right order, then the tefillin. The only question is, do you do it based on the Kore or based on the Meniach? The Kore and Meniach are not Ma'akev. And therefore, when you put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, you're also Yotze Bidyeved with the Raivit's tefillin. So that Chiddush of the Rav Chaim solves the problem of why we only put on two pairs of tefillin and not four pairs of tefillin. The other thing, or the other reason most likely, is that Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam had strong mesorot, and that their deya wasn't simply a position, but it was a position that really relied on a strong mesorah. For instance, Rabbeinu Tam has many of the gonim, the Rav Hai, Rav Shira, going all the gonim behind him. Rashi, we saw there were many tefillin that were opened up, and they saw that the tefillin were like Rashi's tefillin. So we have a strong mesorah, and that's why Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam became a stronger mesorah, and we did it, even without the chiddush of Rav Chaim, you could say that. Chaim's chiddush is nice, that says that we really do accomplish all four of those deyos when it comes to tefillin. Right now, the Gemara is going to go on now, a series of halacha l'moshe b'sinai that really determine the halachas of tefillin. Most of what we do with tefillin is really halacha l'moshe b'sinai, and it's just like chop, 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 one by one. We just lay out what are the halachot of the Moshe Mitzinai. So here again we have Amar Rav Chanana, Amar Rav. Titura de tefillin, halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai. The titura of the tefillin are halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai. What's the titura? Titura is the base of the tefillin. The base that covers over the bottom of the arba, four areas that you stick the parchments in, and the tefillin shorosh, and tefillin shayad, the single compartment that you put it in, the bottom piece that folds up and covers it over, that's called the titura. Now the titura, Rashi claims the titura is made in such a manner that it's still attached. And that's what we have today. The way our tefillin are made is that you have, if you took your two hands together and you held your palms together, that's the way our tefillin look before they're closed. Before they're closed, you have tefillin like this. On top you have the bayit, and these two pieces, and then you close the piece. But they're attached on one end. Three sides are open. One end is attached, and then you seal it together. That's how you create the tefillin. That's what Rashi claims. If you look in the top Tosfos on the left side says, Hua or hakafel lemato, shemichase pi abatim. It's the or that goes on the bottom that covers the batim, but who beit moshavo shel tefillin. It's the base of the tefillin. Very near a king, God, daf shogeshu. Umashmami toch pesha kodesh, shabatim batitura komi or echad. That the batim and the titura are made of one piece of leather. Ve'eino agimke. And that is not our minhag. Our minhag is not to make them out of one piece of leather. Although again, today, we do make it out of one piece of leather. And if you look down in the Shita Mekubetzet, Shita Mekubetzet, the Otchav says also, Ve'rim mefarish titura ze or acher kaful, ve'eino mi or habatim, el or acher hu, v'chetzio el yon nakuv, hu lotzi habatim, it's not from the or of the batim, but another piece of leather. V'chetzio el yon nakuv hu lotzi habatim, derech oto nekev, chetzio ha-sheni hu lamata, v'chufe pi abatim milamata, lefikach nikra titura, v'lishukein daf shel geshu lamata me'abatim v'chein ha-guol olam. So he says that there's piece of leather, again, this separate piece of leather that you fold over that's not from the ora batim, is not from the same piece of leather that the batim, and part of it has a hole or has something punctured in it, put the batim into derech oto nekev through that hole. Chatzio sheni lamata v'chofe pi abatim, and then the other half comes in to cover over the area of the batim. And that's why it's called the titura, because it's like a daf shel keshu lamata me'abatim, that it closes up the area under the batim. But again, you see in the Mishita Mekubetzet that we're talking about two pieces of leather. Rashi thinks it's one piece of leather. Again, the way that our tefillin are made. But the Tosos and here the Shita Mekubetzet makes day out that it was made out of two pieces of leather. Amar Abaye, ma'avarta de tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. What the ma'avarta is not clear. Rashi claims that the ma'avarta is the area in which you would put the kesher ha'tefillin, the straps or the ritzuot ha'tefillin go through. So you have the titura, which is the base of the tefillin. And then Rashi points out, in that area where the fold is, between the two pieces of skin, I have a little extra over there. That a little extra allows me to place the ritzua through it and close it on the ritzua. It's called the ma'avarta because the ritzua is able to move back and forth within that. That's why it's called the ma'avarta. And we're going to see it later on in today's daf that the tefillin have to be square. the base of the tefillin and the tefillin themselves must be square. But if you take out your tefillin, true, the batim are square, the bayit or the batim are square, but the base is not square, it's a rectangle. The reason the base is a rectangle is because it's a square plus the ma'avarta. It is a square, it's a perfect square, but the ma'avarta, the place where the ritzua goes through, is an extension on the tefillin. That extension is what makes it into a rectangle. So that's the ma'avarta according to Rashi. If you look in Tosfot, Tosfot brings in the middle there, he says, Ba'oroch, erech ma'avar, perish ma'avarta, hu titura. He calls that the titura. V'chein gesharim, nikra'im ma'avarta. And a gesher is called a ma'avarta. So he says that the ma'avarta is the titura. The titura, hu makom shenach nimisim bo ha'ritzua. And that's what's called the place where you put the ritzua. Ma'avarta the tefillin. So he claims that the ma'avarta here is the same thing as the titura, and they both mean the area where the ritzua goes through. Venira the local parish aruch b'shvil shei ma'avarta the tefillin the titura the tefillin kol echad. We don't like what the aruch saying because then the titura and the ma'avarta are the same thing, and that doesn't make so much sense. The gemara chashiv lebetarte. Our gemara mentions them as two different items. Elam ishum the mechabre adodi chashiv lu kechado. Just because they're attached together, they're chashiv to one, but it's not that they're one entity. V'yesh v'farshim ma'avarta ritzua ketana shmavirin the mala. Al Beit Tefillin Shel Yad. Tziratosus brings down, and others break down this idea that on the Tefillin Shel Yad, that there is a small ritzua which you pull over the Tefillin Shel Yad. We don't have this type of ritzua that sits on top of the Tefillin Shel Yad. Sfardim, when they put on their Tefillin, they actually wrap, when they do the Kesher at Tefillin, they wrap once over the Tefillin itself. Not just straight onto the arm, but they rope one after the first kesher, they come across the top onto the tefillin itself. Maybe that's what they're referencing over here. But this idea that there should be a ritzu on top of the tefillin shel yad, that's what Tosfos says that it's referring to this ma'avarta. He discusses here why it's not a problem of katzitza or a problem of being laying on top or blocking the batim or bal tosif. It's not attached. It doesn't take up all the space. It doesn't cover all the tefillin. But they think that this ritzua is this additional ritzua that goes over the tefillin shel yad. So you saw there three interpretations of what ma'avarta is. Rashi's interpretation, which is it's the extra piece that allows the ritzua to flow through, to be attached to the batim. You saw the oroch who thinks the ma'avarta and the titura are synonymous. And you see the Tosfos over here who thinks that the ma'avarta is the ritzua that goes over the tefillin shel yad. Next. V'amar bai, shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misina. The shin that we have on the tefillin shel rosh is halacha l'moshe sinai. Those are two shins that we have on our tefillin. And we get from the Shimrush Rabba. The Shimrush Rabba says that the tzura of the shin on the right side should have three legs. The small one, the one on the left side, should have four legs. That's what we have in our tefillin. We have two shins. We have one with three and one with four legs on our tefillin. Has to do with the Shimrush Rabba talks about, it's do you need the shin to have three legs or three blank spaces between it? So the one with three legs has a shin with three legs. The one with shin with four legs has three blank spaces between it. So those are the two different shins in your tefillin. And Shavuos, you'll see that you have one of each. And the siman is that you put that by the kadesh, you put the four-legged one, and by the shema, or if it's Rashi, it's vayayim shemoa, you put the three-legged shin. Now the Shimrush Rabba brings it down and says it's not ma'akev, that you put the shin. The shin is ma'akev, but whether you have the right or the left one have the three legs or four legs, that's not the problem. That's not ma'akev. But it's just interesting that we get that from the Shimrush Rabba, again, that most of the Rishonim have questions as to a lot of the halachot that are found. And even here, Tosfos questions some of the halachot found in the Shimrush Rabba, that it was written in the period of the Geonim. There are other Rishonim that claim it was written at the end of the Gemara, that it was written at the time of the Amoraim and the Sabaraim. But yet, it's all the Rishonim question a number of the halachot that are found in there. It seems most likely that it was a Talmud of one of the Geonim that had written down what the Geon said, and therefore it wasn't redacted properly, and it doesn't have, not all the halachot are binding or correct. So that's the issue of the shin. The next one is Ritzarach Shiagia Charitz the Makoma Tefer. The Charitz has to reach down to the Makoma Tefer. Rashi claims that that's referring to the gaps between the Batim and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. That the gaps between them, we said yesterday there has to be a Charitz between them. That Charitz has to reach all the way down to the Titura, has to reach all the way down to the Moshav. That's what Rashi claims. This Halacha Moshe Mishnah is that the Charitz has to get to the Makoma Tefer, to all the way down to the Bayit. There are other Rishonim who say that it's not even speaking about the division between the batim, but rather the shin. The base of the shin has to reach down to the moshavo, beit moshavo shel tefillin, which is what we do. The shin that is made on the side of the tefillin, which again is a protrusion on the side of the tefillin, that has to touch the base. The base of the shin has to touch the base of the tefillin. That's the way other Rishonim write it, and we're choshish for both. We do both of those, which is that we take the charitz all the way down to the bottom, and we take the shin all the way down to the bottom. Rav Divi min Ardar Mar Kevin de Minkar lo tzarich. Since you can see the charitz, since you can see that there's a separation, even though it doesn't reach down to the bottom, you don't need to worry about it. So it's interesting. This actually comes up in a machlokas about gluing the batim, that many sufrim glue the four batim of the shelrosh so that they will stay together. The question of whether does gluing annul or upend the charitz that's between them. When you glue them together, is that no longer a charitz now? You can press them together as long as they're visible, fine. But if you glue them together, then what's the story? Once they're glued together, does that annul the fact that there is a charitz over there? So it happens to be a machlokas, it's machlokas chasim sofer and someone else about whether you're allowed to glue in there. One of the rayot is from this gemara over here, which it says that according to Rav Dimi Mardah, the cave of the minkar lo tzarech. As long as you can see, so here you see, you don't have to have the charitz go all the way down to the bottom. Even as long as it's minkar, then it's enough to be a charitz. So it's over here, even when you put the glue in, as long as it's clear that there was a charitz all the way down and it's visible now, that should be sufficient. So that'll be the proof to the day that you're allowed to glue them together. Remember Abaye, I kill for the tefillin, the cloth that used for tefillin, tzirich the mivdike. You have to check that cloth beforehand. Maybe there's a problem with the cloth, meaning that it has holes in it. Ubeina ketiva tamo. And we know that you have to have a ketiva tamo, and if it has a hole in it, it won't be a ketiva tamo. There'll be a gap in the writing, there'll be a hole in the letter, because of the hole in the parchment. Veleka, and then it won't be that way. So, you don't have to do that. The sofer, when he's writing with the kumus, that will go over the holes. And he'll know right away if there's a hole in the parchment. That will determine whether the klaf is good or not. As we said before, if the kumus can run over the hole and write, then the hole does not posel. If it can't run over the hole and it catches on the hole, then it'll be problematic. So the test will be when the sofer writes. You don't have to check it beforehand. As the sofer writes with his quill, you will know whether there are holes in it or not. And therefore you can do the bedika on the fly, meaning as you write, you'll do the bedika. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ritzuot Shechorot Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. An additional Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is that the Ritzuot themselves must be black. Meitevei Tefillin. In Koshim Otam El Biminam. Number one, you're only allowed to kosher them Biminan. Biminan over here, Rashi claims, means that it has to be the same material. I mean, that's made out of ore. It has to be made out of leather, just like the Batim. The other Rishonim would say El Biminam means that they have to be the same color as the Batim. The Ritzuot have to match color-wise to the Batim. So now, En El Minam, Ben Yerukot, Ben Shchorot, Ben Levanot. So you can make your Ritzuot green, black, or white. Make them any color you want. So now according to Rashi, there are two statements. One is that you have to make them out of leather. Number two is that they can be any color. According to the other Rishonim, it's, what is Miminam? Means Yerukot, Shchorot, Levanot. Means as long as they match the Batim, they can be any of these colors. Adumot lo yaseh, don't make them red. Mean pnei gnai, because it'll be something that'll be either disgusting or detrimental to the individual. Devar acher. Okay, I'm going to explain what that is. I'm going to review the Masa b'talmidei Rosh Rabbi Akiva she'akosher tefillin b'lishonot shel tchelet. He used to put on his tefillin with strips of blue wool. V'lo amar lo davar, and he never said anything. Rabbi Akiva never said anything to this Talmid. If she'oto tzadik ra talmidei v'lo michabo, how is it possible that Rabbi Akiva saw his Talmid walking around with tchelet holding on his tefillin and he didn't say anything to him? So that would mean that this brayta that we just brought is problematic. According to Rashi, Rashi said b'minan has been done with leather, and here you have somebody doing it with wool. The other possibility is that it's a question on the original statement that we made, that they have to be shchorot, because over here he's using tchelet straps, and that's the question over here. Amalo hein, yes, lo ra'oto, he never saw him. Vimra'oto, lo ayaminicho, if he saw him, he would have stopped him. I mean, the Rabbi Akiva has lots of students. This happened to be one of those wayward students that he didn't see wearing the tefillin this way, and so he didn't stop him. Had he seen him, he would have stopped him. So now the Gemara strengthens the question. Maisi b'Hurkunus. Beno shel Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkunus. He was named after his grandfather. Hurkunus, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkunus, shakosher tefila b'loshono shel argaman. He used purple wool to put on his tefillin. V'lo amar lo davar. He didn't say anything to him. If shiroto tzadik ra beno v'lo michabo. Here the tzadik sees his own son doing this and doesn't stop him. But the fact that he doesn't stop him shows you that he believes that it was okay to do this. So again, you have two things. One is wool and not leather, and you have purple and not black. Samar lo hein lo ra auto. He didn't see his son, v'lo michabo, and that's why he didn't object. Had he seen him, he would have objected. So here it's talking about a son. But his son, he said, you didn't see his son? So the answer is yes, he didn't see his son. Had he seen his son, he would have stopped him. Tani miha. You still have to deal with the Braita that says, so those two issues were not a proof, because we just said that Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus didn't see the person who was doing it. But what about the Braita? The Braita was explicit that you can do it. Ben Yirakot, Ben Shkarot, Ben Levanot. That's against Allah and Moshe Sinai. Lo kasha, kam bifnim, kam bichutz. Makes a difference which size of the straps. Outside has to be black. The face that stands out or goes outward has to be black. The inner face can be whatever color you want. It can be green, it can be white, it can be black, whatever you want on the inside, that is fine. Now, according to those Rishonim that think that it has to match the batim, then the inside has to match the color of the batim, according to those Rishonim. So the color will be determined by the color of the bayit. It says, even bifnim, if you think that bright is talking about bifnim, my gnai, but davar acher ika. What's this gnai and davar acher? Why do you worry about it putting red on the inside of the ritzot? It says, zimnim dimit hapchim le. There are times that it flips over and then it'll be seen. What is the problem with this red? So Rashi brings down, one is the fact that if it's red, people will be choshesh, that the individual has some sort of skin lesions, and those skin lesions are causing the straps to become red. People will be disgusted by it, or they will know or become known to them about this person's disease or cuts that they have on them, and that's why it's turned red. The davar acher, which is shocking, is shema yomro ishto nida ba'al, that it was Boel, his wife, who was a nida, and it's be'ubedam, and the ritzuot became dyed red because of the dam nida of his wife. Now, truthfully, you can't wear tefillin while a person is Boel. So I'm not exactly sure what the chashash is over here, or what they're thinking, but the basic point of the Gemara is don't give people an opportunity to make up things, rumors, and all sorts of things from the red, so avoid the color red. That was the basic approach of the Gemara here, whether it's because of the Maradayin, because of the people, what people are going to think about it, just avoid red. It seems like the Gemara wanted to avoid red. I would have thought possibly, not to do with the reasons given here, is that the ikar is the front part, which is the black. Put red on the other side. Red is a very flashy color. And then it would make it seem like the ikar is on the inside and not on the outside. If you use a duller color on the inside, whether it's white or it's green, something that's not so flashy on the inside, then the black is the ikar, and whatever's on the back is whatever it is. But if you make a flashy, a really strong color like red on the back, that would make it seem like the ikar is the red and the black is the tefel. That's just a suggestion. But why they objected to the red. Alright, next. Tano. More halachot de Moshe Sinai. Tefillin mirubaot. Halachot de Moshe Sinai. The fact that tefillin have to be square is halachot de Moshe Sinai. Now, how do we explain? What does it mean they have to be square? Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, bitofran. That's when they're stitched. Stitched is the part around the bayit where we stitch them up. They have to be done in a square. Ubal achsonan. And along the hypotenuse. On the bayit, the hypotenuse is to ensure that the two hypotenuse have to be equal to show you that it's in a square and not a rectangle. It's not enough that they're right angles, that the tefer has right angles in it, the stitching has right angles in it. In addition to that, it must be that it is alachsonan. The hypotenai have to be equal to show you that it's an exact square. Now again, we're talking about the square over here. It's talking about the base of the tefillin itself. The moshava tefillin has to be square. Tosos right away comments and says, it's an amazing thing, tefillin mubo, it's the last Tosos over here. Yeshein rabim elamakom moshavan, place where they sit. B'shem etzarecha ba. What about the bayit itself? Do they have to be square? Shirosh abatan dvukot b'chem bayit shoyad. Kitzat hayanira the low bayim rubot elu betofran ulachsonan. Sounds like from our Gemara, it's only the base upon which the bayit sits that requires the squaring. The batim that sit on top do not have to be square based on this. There's no requirement of squaring out the batim on top. Says our Gemara says tafran ulachsonan. That's talking about the bayit moshav. That's not talking about the batim themselves. That's the case. We don't have a source for making the batim is square. Although we do. We do square out the batim, make sure they're all right angles, they're squared out. But from this Gemara, he says it's not clear that there's a necessity to make the batim themselves square. The Shimush Rabba says that the batim should be two etzba'ot by two etzba'ot. So those that wear Shimush Rabba tefillin, again, it's the Kabbalists that do this. A lot of Kabbalists wear them. Many of them have the minhag to wear them at mincha time. So if you say people wearing tefillin at mincha time, they're usually pretty small tefillin. They're a small box, which is two etzba'ot by two etzba'ot. The Shimush Rabba again says nama akev, but he says that's the right, the nice way, the proper way to do tefillin is two etzba'ot by two etzbot. So first of all, indicates that it was square. That's one. And number two is, it's a very small bite that he's talking about. He says you can make it bigger or smaller, but that's the ikar, to make it two etzbot by two etzbot. Again, our minhag is to square out the batim on top. Okay, lema misayle. Let's say that this is a proof to him. Ha'oseh tefilato agula. We're talking about someone who makes the base of the tefillin circular. Sakana bein ba'mitzvah. It endangers him, and he's not yotzei the mitzvah of tefillin. Sounds like it's a support to him. You gotta have a square as the base, not a circle. Samra papa matnitan davida kam guzo. Can't can't prove anything in the Mishnah. There are different types of circular base. The base that the Mishnah is talking about, when he makes it like an amgos, when he makes it like a sharp, protruding circle, I mean, it's something that looks like a nut that is in there. So the base is not flat. The base itself is also curved and circular. So in that, it won't sit well. If you bang your head into the wall or the door lintel when you're walking out, it'll puncture into the skull. And that's the danger over here. On the other hand, if you make the Beit Moshav flat, just circular, over there it might have been fine according to the Mishnah. That's what the Halacha of Moshe Misinai comes to tell you. Don't make a flat circular base. It must be a flat square base that sits under the tefillin. Right? And then again, the Machlokes between Rashi means that if the base is the same piece of leather that it, the batim and the top are made out of, that leather piece underneath has got to be squared out. According to the Tosafot, it's got to be the additional piece that you put on the bottom. And then the Shita Mekubetz brought this case that the Beit Moshav was a place that had a bottom piece and a top piece that had a hole cut out of it, in which you sat the batim into that hole piece on top. That will be the third opinion about what the Moshav is. In all those cases, the Moshav has to be squared out. The Rush brings down that it's important that the Ma'avarta be kept separate from the base. Again, we said before, the Ma'avarta where the Tzua goes through is not considered to be part of the Titura. And we say the base of the Titura must be square, not the Ma'avarta. So if you look at our tefillin, we do something to ensure that. That is, if you look on your tefillin, where the Tzua goes through the tefillin, there's a carved out semicircle on both sides. Why is there a carved out semicircle? To indicate that that's the end of the Titura and the beginning of the Ma'avarta. And so that therefore you know where the square ends, because otherwise our tefillin look like they're rectangular. They stick it on a rectangular base. So how do you know to get where it ends for the square? Those little curves or those cuts, which the Rush suggests to do, are indications of where the Titura ends and where the Ma'avarta begins. So if you look at your tefillin, they should be square up to that point of where the curve or the cut out is. Cut out itself serves as the Ma'avarta where the Kithi Ritzua goes through. Amar Avuna, tefillin kol zman shepnei tavla kayemet ksheirot. The tefillin, as long as the skin, the leather that is around the batim, is still intact, they are ksheirot. I mean, as long as they're not punctured, they're fine. Rav Hista amar, nifstaku shtayim ksheirot, shalosh psulot. So the way Rashi reads this is that we're talking about the batim themselves, and between the batim, we're talking about if there's a hole between on the leather between the batim, then there's no problem. If there are two that broke, ksherot. If there are two, there are three that are punctured, then it becomes pasul. So now Amar Rava, Rava qualifies this. I'll go back and explain it in a second. Amar Rava Adam Shtayim ksherot. The fact that you say two are kasher, lo amrana zeh shlo keneged zeh, as long as they're not up against each other. Ava zeh keneged zeh, if they are up against each other, then they're psulot. Vezeh keneged zeh nami, even if they're up against each other, lo amrin ela bechadata. We're only talking about their bechadata in a new one. Ava batikta leitun ba, but in an older pair of tefillin, it's not going to be an issue. So let's explain. What does this mean? All these qualifications. Rashi says it's talking about the batim. There are others that are talking about the tefirot, that it's talking about the tefirot around. We'll go with Rashi's pshat, that it's talking about the batim themselves. In the batim themselves, you have four batim in the tefillin shel Rosh, and each one of the batim is a separate bayit. As we saw from Rashi, you put in a finger into each one, and that pushes up the leather. That means each leather, piece of leather, has four sides to it on those batim, and then we press them together to make it look like a single bayit, but each one has its own wall. So now, if you have a puncture, a hole between them, the question is, what type of puncture makes it problematic? So Rashi brings down two interpretations of Zeh Shalok and Neged Zeh. They're not next to each other. Either it's Bayit Rishon Bayit Shlishi, means that there are two separate batim that have a hole in them. The first bayit has an internal hole in it, and the third bayit has an internal hole with it. There, Rava says it's fine, because they're not facing each other. There are no two batim that are adjacent that have a hole in it. But if they are adjacent and they have holes in them, then it'll be problematic. That'll be a problem because now you have a full puncture through. You have one bayit, two batim right next to each other that are punctured through. That's one possibility. Rashi brings a lishna achrina, zesh neged zeh betoch avir charitz echad. It's talking about within one division, between two batim, where's the hole in each one of the batim? If the batim have holes that face each other, then it's pasul, because then they can see each other. There's a hole all the way through. It's miflash. It goes all the way through. But zesh lok neged zeh, if one has a hole above, one has a hole below, even though they're facing each other, that's not problematic. So we're actually being those two interpretations. Either it is that you can't have a puncture facing each other. Two batim that face each other cannot have a puncture, because then even though they're not exactly lined up, you have a hole all the way through the charitz now, and it's problematic. The second lashon says no, they have to be lined up and facing each other be problematic. As long as they're not lined up and there's a puncture in them, they're not problematic. So that's what Rava says. Two and not three. Because two, you can have internal punctures without facing each other. If you have three punctures, then you're definitely going to face each other. You'll have punctures that face each other. So that's what the explanation of the punctures over here is. The second piece, which is the statement of Lo Amar Nitzah Kenegad Zeh, which is, but Zeh Kenegad Zeh, if they're opposite each other, Psulot Zeh is only when new tefillin. Why? Because new tefillin is an Or Mekulkal Hu. The fact that they're already punctured shows you that the leather was not good quality. There's a problem with the leather, that it punctured so fast, that's an indication that there's a problem in the leather. Atikta, if they're older ones, then we don't worry about it because we know the reason that they punctured is because of the wear and tear on them. They're older. It's not that there's a problem with the leather, it's just the wear and tear on the tefillin. So as long as, again, the outer bite is whole, the outer sides are whole, and internally, right, they only have these small punctures in them, then it'll be fine according to this. According to the first interpretation of Rashi, it makes sense, because if you think, there are only three gaps, there are three charitzim. So if two charitzim have holes in them, then you can have it be that you have a charitz that's two charitzim that are not facing each other. It means no two batim are facing each other that have holes in them. Once you have three holes, it's clear that every charitz has a hole in it. If every charitz has a hole in it, then they're going to be facing each other. Amalei Abaye, the Rav Yosef. Heichi damien charitov, heichi damien atikto. What's new leather and what is old leather? I'm like, that any time that if you pull the leather, you stretch the leather, it goes back to its form, atikta. That's older leather. That's a leather that's taken shape. Its shape is hardened that way. And therefore, if you pull on it, then the shape returns to its normal position. Whereas vidach, if it doesn't do that, then it's chadata, then it's a new one. Vinami, another possibility, that if you tie a ritzua to it, and pull the ritzua, it comes with it. Chadata, that's called chadata. Vidach, and the other one is called an etikta, is older leather, because it'll tear. If you pull it by the ritzua that's holding on to it, the leather will tear because the leather is worn down already and it will tear if you pull on it. Whereas the charata is strong leather because it just was made, it's a thicker piece, and therefore if you pulled by ritzua on it, it wouldn't tear. Vaya yotiv kamed Rav Yosef, ifsikle ritzua detfifle, that he had his tefillin on, and his ritzua tore in front of Yosef. Amalei ma'ud miktere, can I tie them back together? Can I knot the piece of the ritzua back on to the tefillin? Amalei ukshartam ktiv, it says ukshartam, it should take shiratama. It don't have to be a hole or a nice kshira. So two ways to learn what it means kshira tama over here. Either kshira tama means there's only one kesher and not multiple ksharim. So if you're on the show Rosh, the kesher is behind. If you make ksharim on the ritzuot that are coming out, that kesher will be problematic because now you have multiple ksharim. The other possibility is it has to be a kesher tama, it has to be a non-visible. The ritzuot have to be whole and have to be nice. And if you put a kesher on them, that's not a kesher tama because that makes it a visible kesher on the ritzua, as opposed to being behind the head where it's not a visible kesher. What about stitching it back together? There are two tears. Can you stitch it back together and leave the stitched side on the inside? So on the outside, it looks like a whole piece. It says, go see what the minagam is with this. Rashi claims the minagam was not to accept that. That it was unacceptable for the minagam, and therefore it's pasul. The Rabbeinu Tam says the other way, the hakel. Says that the minagam was to accept it. Since it looks fine and it's nice, that's fine. So machlok is about what it means. What do people do? Based on the minag of the people will go, Rashi says that's the chumrah and it's problematic. The Rabbeinu Tam says that's the kula and it's fine. Amra papa. Gardume ritzuot. The leftovers of the ritzuot, ksherot, are fine. So if the ritzuot were originally one length, and then they got cut back, it's fine. V'lav miltihi. That's not true. Min da'amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya gardumei techelet ve'gardumei ezov k'sherim. The fact that b'nei Rabbi Chiya say when it comes to techelet on the tzitzit, if the string of the tzitzit broke, snapped, and there's a smaller piece left over, it's kasher. V'gardumei ezov, when it comes to the sprinkling of the para adumah, the ezov that's there, even if the ezov broke down, is less than the original, as long as the original had a shear, then even now if you have a sub shi'ur, it's okay because it started with the shi'ur. And the same thing with the gardumei tchelet of the tzitzit, ksherim. That is only by tchelet and by the ezov. It doesn't mention the ritzuot there. Hatamu the tashmishi mitzvah, because over there, they're tashmishi mitzvah. They are part of the mitzvah. They're doing something to create a mitzvah. Of a hacha, tashmishi kedusha ninhu. Here they have inherent kedusha and therefore lo. And therefore you can't do it. So here you see this idea that the ritzuot themselves have a status of kedusha. They're not just tashmishei mitzvah. They're not just being used to accomplish a mitzvah, but they in and themselves have an inherent kedusha to it. Rashi will claim again, and we'll see this later on in today's Amud, the reason that it has inherent kedusha is because you have the letters of the Shem Hashem embedded in the ritzuot. So you have the Dalet that is embedded in there, and the Yud on the Shalya, they're embedded in the Ritzuot. So that's what makes it them a sense there are Tashmishei Kedusha, not Tashmishei Mitzvah. Others, like we'll see later today's that, the Tosos who disagrees with Rashi, will say, no, that's not the case. But the reason they're Tashmishei Kedusha is because they have a Halacha Namoshim Yisrael that demands them to be there. It's not part of the Mitzvah. They are Tashmishei Kedusha because they're just like the Tefillin themselves. But now the Gemara says, Michal Deitlahu Shiura. From the statements along here that the leftovers are okay or not okay, that means that there must be an original Shiur that you have to have. Become a Shiurayu. And what is the Shiur that we're speaking about here? Now, which Ritzuot are we speaking about over here? Rashi claims, Tosos mentions it also, so we're talking about the Ritzuot of the Shel Rosh. There are others that disagree, including the Aruch, and others that believe that we're speaking over here about the Ritzuot of the Shel Yad. It's how far down, or how long do the Ritzuot Shel Yad have to be? We'll explain it according to Rashi's Pshat, and as Tosus points out, it seems to be that it fits in well with the Gemara that we're talking about the Ritzuot Shel Rosh. And that is, what is the Shiur of the Ritzuot Shel Rosh? Is Kama Shirayu, Amar Rabbi Bechama, Amar Rabbi Shlokish, Al Etzba Sreda. Up to the Etzba Tzredo. So the Etzba Tzredo, according to Rashi, is the space between your middle finger and your pointer finger. That's how long they have to be. Beyond the Kesher of the Shel Rosh, they have to be the distance, the amount between your middle finger and your pointer finger. Rav Kahana Mechave Kafuf, Rav Ashi Mechave Pashut. One of them showed it bent, and one of them showed it straight. Rashi claims that that'll be the difference between whether you're looking at the space between the thumb and the pointer finger, or the pointer finger and the middle finger. So that'll be the difference between the thumb and the etzba and the pointer finger, that's bigger. That's the pashut that's stretched out. And the kafuf, because it's called kafuf, because it's half the distance between the finger, the middle finger, and the pointer finger. So that's the amount of ritzua that you need to extend beyond the kesher of the tefillin shel rosh. According to the others, it's not about the shel yad. How far do you have to bring it down the kesher shel yad? You have to get them to reach all the way down to etzba tzreid, all the way down to the middle finger, whether it's straight or bent. Right? Whether it's bent or straight will tell you how much you need in terms of the ritzua of the shel yad. According to those who believe, we're talking about the Ritzuot Shel Yad. Rabba Kotra Luhu, he used to knot it, Upashit, Bishari Luhu, and he used to leave them hanging on his back. So he'd make the Kesher Shorosh, and he let the straps hang on the back after he finished the Kesher. Vachaba Yaakov Kotra Luhu, Umatli Luhu. Vachaba Yaakov used to tie them, and Matli Luhu used to braid them. After he tied them, he would braid them and bring them down. Marbury Devana Avi Kedidan. Marbury Devana does like we do, because they have the Kesher in the back, and then we pull the Ritzuot forward, and they sit on the front. So this is the proof, or it seems to be that the flow of the Gemara is that we're still talking about Tefillin Shel Rosh. According to those that say we were talking about Tefillin Shel Yad, now we switched to Tefillin Shel Rosh. According to Rashi, the whole sugi is talking about Tefillin Shel Rosh, and that's why it's more consistent. That's what Tosa says to support Rashi's position that we're talking about Tefillin Shel Rosh all the way through over here, and where you place the Ritzuot, and that's what we do today, is that the knots in the back and the Ritzuot sit on the front coming down. Tosa does bring down the Shemush Rabba again. Tosa brings in the Shemush Rabba, Tefillin Yesh, the Lifshu Ritzui, Ad Limtu the Chada Keneged Milo. The Ritzuot should be long enough that one of them reaches down to your Brit Milah, Miyamina on the right side, or the Chad on the left side, Keneged Aleiv, opposite the heart, Mismola. That's the mitzvah, the Shir, or the Shemush Rabba, that's what we're Noheg, we're Noheg Tivem, and longer, but at least that the right one goes down to the Brit Milah, and the left one goes down to the heart. The Od Yesh Omer, the mitzvah Shir Rochav, what about the width of the Ritzuot? Yoter Mikechita, has to be more than a wheat kernel, Upachot Miksora, that has to be more than a wheat kernel, but less, it can be less than a barley kernel, Yim Yoter Kasher, it's wider, then it's not a problem. So here the Gemara gives no minimum shear about the width. Tosos here brings a minimum shear for the width, as well as the length of the Ritzuot. The Gemara gives no minimum length of the Ritzuot. The Shemush Rabba explains about the Mila and about Leiv. Obviously these are the hidden meanings behind the Ritzuot, and about going to Mila and Leiv are significant parts of the body, and significant areas of Kedusha, and obviously the Ritzuot going to that length are showing you, or an indication of the fact that the Ritzuot have meaning in and of themselves. It's not just the Tefillin, but the Ritzuot have meaning, and that will explain why they're Tashmishei Kedusha, not just Tashmishei Mitzvah, because they themselves have an inherent Kedusha that is connected to the Leiv and connected to the Mila. Amar Rav Yehuda Brei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav. Kesher Shel Tefillin. Kesher the Tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Again, Rashi says that we're talking about Kesher Tefillin is talking about the Kesher Tefillin of the Rosh. That's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Amar Rav Nachman Benoya the Bar. And its beauty has to be on the outside. The way Rashi explains this, if you look in Rashi, Kesher Shel Tefillin, she has Sima Ritzuot Al Rosho, Binyan She Dalit, Kedei She B'Shem Hashem Shakai Nira Lehem. The shin is on the bayit of the Tefillin Shel Rosh. The dalit is the knot in the back of the tefillin shel rosh. So Rashi says here, the kesher shel tefillin is halacha moshe misinai. It means the dalid of the kesher shel tefillin, that is halacha moshe misinai. Then the yud is found on the tefillin shel yad and not on the tefillin shel yad. The second Rashi, v'noya lebar, what does it mean that their beauty should be on the outside? Hashem yeh ne'ra b'chutz. The shame Hashem will be seen now. Because you have the shin on the tefillin shel rosh, the dalid on the kesher shel tefillin, and the yud on the kesher tefillin shel yad. Hashon acher na'yom shel ritzuot. Shin chalukot mitzad echad utzuot shchorot hunayin. The beauty of the ritzuot should be facing the outside, which is the black, smooth side, should be the side that faces out. So that's the interpretation of Rashi. Rav Ashi of a Yotim Kameh de Marzutra, it hapchale Ritzua de Tefillin. His Ritzua de Tefillin flipped over from the black side to the white side. Didn't you hear of this idea that Noyim the Bar, that it should be on the outside? I wasn't paying attention. All the Yom Yaretz will see that the Shem Hashem is called upon you and they'll fear you. Tanya, Rav Elazar HaGadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Shibarosh. This refers to the Tefillin of the Rosh. That means that the Tefillin Shibarosh, first of all, are an ode to others. That's the idea that we spoke about yesterday. That's why the Seder of the Koreh is important. It's also, as Tosa said yesterday, the word Totafot comes from the word Lefalel, Levikuach. The person's taking a position that he's a representative of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and others are going to fear him. All these ideas that come with the Tefillin Shel Rosh are embedded in this idea. That the Tefillin Shel Rosh, people will see them. The Shem Hashem is called upon you. V'yar umi mekka, and therefore they will fear you. Amar Rabbi Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasidam, Lameid, V'siruti et kaparite et achurai. I will take away my hand, and you will see my back. Meaning that the Kodesh Baruch, when he passes before Moshe, he says that I will take away, I will uncover myself after I've passed you, and then you'll be able to see me. What did he see? He saw the kesher of the tefillin of the Kodesh Baruch. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, kesher shel tefillin, tzarech shehei lemala. Yehu Yisrael lemala, v'lo lemata. Kesher tefillin of the rosh should be lemala, v'lo lemata, so that Bnei Yisrael should be, it represents Bnei Yisrael should be lemala, v'lo lemata, v'tzarech shehei kaplei pnim, deshi Yisrael lefnim v'lo achor. It should be facing in and not out, so the Bnei Yisrael should be facing in and not out. So as Rashi comments over here, the mala means begova rosh, below the mata bitzavar, it should be down on the neck, but rather up on the head. That's not right. Kalpei pni means mimula oref, below tzidei rosh, means opposite the mimula oref, opposite the back of the neck, and not on the sides. Or lashon achil, kalpei pni, she a kesher mi bifnim, and noi shodal mi bachutz, that the knot should be made on the outside, inside, but the outside should see a picture of a dalid, basically. The smooth part of the knot will be on the outside, and the messier part of the knot will be on the inside. Those are the interpretations of Rashi. So now Rashi says, and Rashi connects all the Gemara here, Tefillin Shel Rosh have the kesher on them, which brings about the Shem Hashem that's called upon you. And that's the idea here, that the kesher that Moshe saw in Kodesh Baruch Hu was Tefillin Shel Rosh. He saw a kesher shel tefillin, representing that Hashem wears tefillin, and also has a kesher shel tefillin, representing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore we wear tefillin that have Hashem's name on them. And the Gemara in other places mentions what's in the tefillin of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there they name all the parshiot that say our unique status with regards to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Our tefillin talk about how we view Hashem as a unique God, and his tefillin talk about how we are unique to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have matching tefillin in that way. Tosus here takes issue with Rashi's explanation. He says, Beresh B'Kunchish, Tzvotu Aleihem Rov Hashem Shin V'Dalet. Why is it that the tefillin Shel Rosh are considered to be the more Kadosh and Re'u Kol Amei Haaretz, that they're going to see you and they're going to be afraid of you? Rashi says, because the Shem Hashem is on you. It says, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha. Why is the Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha? Rashi says, you have the Shin and the Dalet of the Shem Hashem, the Yud's on the Yud. So the Rov Hashem is on the tefillin Shel Rosh. They're going to see the Shem Hashem, they're going to fear you. So he says, V'nira the Dalet B'Yud Shibitzot Lavot Yod Gmurotein. Tosus disagrees. He says, the Dalet that's in the knot of the Kesher Shel Tefillin Shel Rosh and the Yud on Tefillin Shel Yad are not real letters. V'lo Chashivim Min Hashem Shel Shakai. And they're really not a part of the Shem Hashem of Shakai. So how do you know that you need a Behema Torah? How do you know that you need to use leather and a kosher animal? It's because by the Tefillin Shel Rosh, you have a Shin written on them. The Shin indicates that they have to have writing, and that's Torah Hashem Beficha. The Ritzot don't have that, and I need a separate limud for the Ritzuot. And then Rav Yaakov of the Orleans, Misupak, and Tzarech Lachzot Tefillav Shel Yad, Shenichtas Beit HaKiseh. He has an interesting safek. You have to take off your Tefillin Shel Yad when you go into the bathroom. The Shem came to Mechupad Or, they're covered in skin, Lo Tzarech. The whole Asher Tefillin Shel Rosh, Shekotu Shin Baor. Maybe the only problem is the Tefillin Shel Rosh, they have the Shin written on the outside. Might be that it's just a practical thing. Okay, Rashi indicates the Tefillin Shel Rosh have Kedusha, and they're the thing that has Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, because you have the Shin and the Dalet of the Shem Hashem. Tosus rejects that, because he says that we have a differentiation in the Gemara between the Ritzuot and the Bayit. One has the letters on it, one does not have letters on it. And so it's clear that they don't view the Otiot in the Ksharim and on the Ritzuot as real letters. But, nevertheless, why is it that the Rosh is more Chashuv? Maybe because it's the Shel Rosh, and not the Shel Yad. Because it's a more Chashuv. Yisuv. Then Rav Yaakov Meorleans says that distinction may even extend to the fact about whether you have to take it off in the bathroom. That you have to tell Shul Rosh to take off in the bathroom because it's open, it has the letter Shin sticking out of it, and it's Kadosh, so you take it off. It's going to Yad. Maybe when you have it on the Yad, you don't have to do all that. You can leave it. It's Mechupin, or the tefillin on the inside, there's nothing on the outside. Maybe you can walk into the bathroom with them. And also, Yesh Ol Defaresh also brings down an additional idea. The reason that the tefillin Shul Rosh are the ones that are considered here and not tefillin Shul Yad is just because they're more visible. People will fear you, and the Shem Hashem Nikralecha is true of both the tefillin Shul Yad and tefillin Shul Rosh. It's just that the tefillin Shul Yad are covered up by your sleeve, they're in your arm. Tefillin Shul Rosh are obvious, they stand out, and since they stand out, therefore, that's why people will see them and fear you. It's just a practical consideration, it's not a difference in Kiddusha. Do you see over here this idea of differentiating between the tefillin Shul Yad and tefillin shel rosh about the level of kedusha, and this does have impact in terms of halachot. Many of the halachot that we have about hesach hadat and the ideas of guf naki, according to some of the poskim, many of the poskim that only applies to tefillin shel rosh. If one is not wearing tefillin shel rosh, those aspects of the tefillin are not in force because the tefillin shel yad have a different status of dusha. They're od lechav to other people. They don't have that level of kedusha of the tefillin shel rosh that put on the demand of things like the tzitz that you can't be a mesiach dat. And the idea that you have to have a guf naki. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll start with the sugi of the bracha tomorrow.